Nexus Church is all about cultivating an authentic Christian community where old and young alike journey with Jesus and are transformed by the gospel. May we be challenged and inspired by the power of His Word.
For those who haven't met me, my name is Gary Morgan. As you can tell from my accent, I'm from Tasmania. And no, I'm joking. I'm from the old South Wales, not the new one. If you're a state of origin, do not kill me. I'm a Queenslander, amen? I've got the license. 18 months ago, we moved to Coolum Beach. Wow, because someone has to, amen? And so we're suffering for Jesus. Please pray for us. It's not quite Patmos, but it's incredible. But I am a Queenslander. I was saying the other day I had to hire a car, and actually when I landed yesterday, I hired a car to come back down, and I said, please, would you just give me a car with a Queensland plate on? Because every time you give me one with a Victoria plate, I feel like my life's in danger. Because either I drive like a Victorian or I get abused like a Victorian. And so I just pray that, so they give me a Queensland one so I can do whatever I want, amen? So it's awesome. But guys, it is such an honor to be here. This is home away from home. I am so thankful for Nexus Church, for Pastor Nathan and Beck Bean. You know, it's amazing. I do see them up there. But I don't see them. It's like this transformation takes place. As Pastor Nathan goes up that highway, it's like he goes from being a pastor to a surfer. It's incredible. And you need a word of knowledge to identify this man in Coolum. And so it's, whoa, it's Pastor Nathan. It's amazing. But it's so good you guys are able to come up. And anyone, just come up. It's amazing. We don't want your tourism, but we want your money. Amen? So it's incredible. Sponsored by the Queensland government. But guys, it is such an honor to be here. I trust tonight God is going to become bigger in your world, that He is going to meet you where you're at. But also as well, I am so intrigued by this thought that God wants us to magnify Him. Amen? The Bible tells us in Psalms, I love what it says. It says in Psalms that, O magnify the Lord, Psalm 34:3. O magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. Magnifying the Lord doesn't change His size, it changes our perspective. When you magnify the Lord, it doesn't change His size, it changes our perspective. And I think the Lord is wanting to invite us to change our perspective. I want to say this tonight. He doesn't want us to go to Specsavers. He doesn't want us to receive a lens that is of man. He wants us to receive a perspective that's of heaven, so that when we look at our problems, when we look at our situations, we're not looking at them through a lens of defeat. We're looking through them a lens of destiny. We're looking through the lens of what is possible in God, not impossible. And I think God is so kind that He invites us into a place where we get to partner with Him in every aspect of our life. I think God wants to calibrate our hearts. There is a calibration. I'll tell you, I love coffee, amen? If you don't believe that caffeine is the fourth part of the Trinity, you need to look in Scripture. Jehovah, caffeine, the Lord that lifteth thee. Amen? And so when I get up in the morning, you know, I have to dial in my machine. And if I don't dial in my machine, it's either going to be bitter or it's going to be weak. But when I dial it in, gold begins to flow. Amen? And I want to encourage you today, if we don't dial ourselves in as believers, if we don't check in with Holy Spirit, if we don't check in with God, we're going to check out. And we'll get bitter and we'll get weak. But when we check in and find calibration in His Spirit, when we check in with Him and find that calibration, friends, that it's not all that, you know, it's not, you know, once in a blue moon. It's every day we check in with the Holy Spirit. We say, Father, calibrate my heart to Your greatness. Calibrate my heart to Your wonder. Calibrate my heart to Your majesty. Calibrate my heart to what is possible in You. When you do that, anything is possible. But when we don't calibrate, what we find ourselves is we get bitter, not better. We get weak, not strong. And God is inviting us to calibrate in this place of recognizing who He is and who we're becoming. I just love Holy Spirit because one of the things about the Holy Spirit is that it is the third part of the Trinity that was given to us. It's a gift. He is the gift. He has gifts, but he is the gift. And the danger comes is when we love the gifts he has more than the gift he is. And so the calibration is always to come back to my relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, hey, I'm out of you. I'm going, but I'm going to send one to you as a comforter. And for Australians, friends, that isn't a doona. He's not giving us a doona, amen? When he said he would give us a comforter, he didn't throw a doona on us. Get comfortable. Because one of the things I'm learning, friends, is when it comes to the life of the Holy Spirit, when it comes to life with the Holy Spirit and a life of faith, it doesn't require comfort, it requires courage. But we've accepted comfort and gone, hey, we'll just stay comfortable when God's inviting us to be courageous. When we accept the comfort place when God says, hey, I want you to be courageous. Faith doesn't require comfort, it requires courage. So when he said, I'm going to give you a comforter, he didn't say, hey, I'm giving you a doona. He said, hey, I'm giving you one who's going to come alongside you and strengthen you. I'm going to have one come alongside you and begin to reveal to you the wonder, the majesty, the promise, the power, the presence of who he is in and through your life. I want to encourage you, friends, life with the Holy Spirit is a gift that keeps on giving. And it's not a gift we need on a Sunday to feel good and speak in funny languages. It's a gift I need on Monday morning when my kids want avocado toast, amen? Flipping it, when I was a kid, I didn't get avocado toast. What's this bougie stuff our kids are growing up with? Like, I want avocado toast with a drizzle of balsamic. Dude, you're gonna get something else right now if you don't wise up. It's crazy. What has happened to this generation? Avocado on toast. What? Can I have a drizzle of? I'll tell you, life with the Holy Spirit, you need it on Monday morning. You could be flowing in the gifts on a Sunday, but friends, you need the fruits on a Monday. Amen. I need patience. You need patience. I need kindness. You need kindness. I want to encourage you. Life with the Holy Spirit is not just about moving in power. It's moving in authenticity. It's saying, God, I can encourage someone, but also as well, I need the presence of patience in my life. Because how many people know 8-year-olds and 11-year-olds just know how to push you just that little bit? Amen. Am I speaking to someone tonight? Or we all got perfect kids, yeah? We're all sitting there like, yeah, I don't know what you mean, Gary. My kids, no. I need the Holy Spirit for parenting. I need the Holy Spirit for business. I need the Holy Spirit for life. I need the Holy Spirit for being a good neighbor. Friends, tonight, I want to encourage us. There is an invitation to calibrate our hearts to that of the Holy Spirit. And I think it begins with this thought. And I want to get into my message tonight. And so why don't you open your Bibles? Let's make this meeting legal, amen, so we don't get accused of being a TED Talk. Open your Bibles to John 15. I love this. I'm intrigued by Jesus' statements when he talks to his disciples in this way. Have you got your Bibles, John 15? We're going to pick it up in verse 14. Now let's pick it up in verse 13, amen? Well, why don't we just pick it up in verse 9? Well, why don't we just go back to Genesis? We've got plenty of time, amen? Why don't we just do that? Verse 9, as the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Everyone say abide. There's an invitation here not to visit. When it comes to life in the Holy Spirit, we have this thing that we think we have to visit God when God wants us to abide with him. The last time I checked, God hasn't got visitation rights on my life. He's got habitation rights. I haven't got a stepfather. I've got a father. Am I speaking to somebody? He doesn't just visit me on a Sunday. Am I speaking to somebody? We have one who abides with us. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Friends, I want to encourage you right now. It's not about keeping the law. It's about the law keeping you. We think that we have to keep a law when the law is there to keep us. People think when you believe in grace, you don't need law. Friends, we need law to show us who we're not. We need grace to show us who we are. Am I speaking to somebody? Abide in my love. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need joy. This is the fruit I need on a Monday morning when my kids are going psycho. Amen. This is the fruit I need. I need joy when the machine doesn't calibrate right. I need joy when I get cut off on the Bruce Highway. I need joy when my Amazon delivery said it was coming Monday, but it comes Tuesday. I need joy. Amen. But Jesus said, I don't want your joy just to remain. I want my joy to be full. And I want to encourage you. Don't believe in half-measured Christianity. Don't sign up for, that's enough. No. That's not enough. God wants our joy overflowing. Amen? He wants it to be full and overflowing. That's the Christian life. And I want to encourage us, Nexus, that we don't just want to be a people who say, oh, that's enough. God is inviting us. I want to invite you tonight to recognize the greatness that's on this house, to recognize the call that is upon this family. There is a call on this house not to play it safe. There's a call on this house not to be comfortable. There's a call on this house not just to fit in. There's a call on this house not to just be the nice church down the street. There is a call on this house to be an apostolic place, to be a sending and receiving place, to be a place that hosts His presence, to be a place that equips His people, to be a place that empowers families, to be the best neighbors and families they can be. That's the call on this house. And when Jesus said, I want your joy to be full, He's saying, hey guys, I want you to be full of the Holy Spirit. I want you to be full of the substance of heaven. Oh my gosh. Oh, guys, can I encourage you one thing tonight? The Bible invites us to be salt and to be what? Light. You only need salt if it's tasteless. But I'm learning something because my doctor told me, Gary, you have too much salt in your body. You need to back it off. You see, the danger is when we try to get salty with the salty. Turn to your neighbor and say, you don't need salt. You are salt. But why do we get salty with the salty? You don't need light for the light. You don't walk into a room that's already got a light on and say, hey, can you turn on the light? It's already on. But what we do is we apply kingdom invitations to the church, yeah? And we say, okay, we're going to get salty. We don't need salt here. We need salt there. We don't need light here. We need light there. Amen? And so when Jesus is inviting us to step into a place of not just having joy, but joy that's overflowing, the joy He wants me to have is for me, but the joy that's overflowing is for others. When you have something and you keep it to yourself, that's called selfishness. When you have something and you share it with others, that's called selflessness. And He wants us to be selfless when it comes to the gifts, when it comes to the kingdom, when it comes to what He's given us. I want to encourage us, friends. I'm not calling out tonight, I'm calling up. Because there is a call on this house to be a beacon. There's a call on this house to host. Isaiah 54, enlarge the place of your tent. It's not just about the tent, it's about the place. And it's not just for basketball places, amen? Am I speaking to somebody? I want to declare this tonight. As you expand the buildings on this, so you'll expand the people. As you expand, as you build with the Lord, you're going to build with the Lord. Amen? As you build for the people, you'll build with the Lord. I want to encourage you. This isn't happening because someone had a good idea. This is happening because someone saw a generation that was 30, 40 years down the lane. This is happening because we saw something today that tomorrow will step into. Am I speaking to somebody? Buildings don't happen. I tell you, someone said this to me. Buildings don't change people, but what goes on in them does. Yeah, am I speaking to somebody? We better carry on because there'll be a TED talk. Greater love has no one than this, than they lay down his life for his friends. Here's the clincher. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. This verse troubles me because it reminds me of my childhood. You can only be my friend if you do this. Did anyone have that as a kid? If you jump up and down five times, you can be my friend. No. Jesus isn't saying that. He said, you are my friends if you do what I command you. He's not saying, hey, I'm gonna tell you something and you've got to follow. He's saying, hey, come into my values. Come into who I am. Come into the living letter, not just the written letter. Come into who I am, not just what I say. When you come into who I am, when you come into to me as the living letter, the one who hasn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. When you step into the fulfillment, friends, you're my friends. You're my friends if you step into fulfillment. It's not about the law, friends. It's about love. We confuse the two. We live in this hokey-pokey, hokey-cokey, whatever you want to call it. Amen? 1 minute we're in. 1 minute we're out. In, out, we're shaking it all about. That's a good Pentecostal meeting. Amen? If you abide, if you stay in this place, if you dwell, if you create a place to stay with me. Am I speaking to somebody? No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you what? Friends. I've called you friends. Why have I called you friends? He qualifies it with a statement. For all things that I've heard from my Father have been made known to you. In any other context, that would be called gossip. Everything I've heard from the Father, I've told you. That's gossip. That ain't gossip, that's gospel. That is the beauty of the gospel. How about we gossip the gospel instead of gossip the gossip? Am I speaking to somebody? How about we make people know? I tell you, I knew I was called to be prophetic from a young age. I knew it. Why? Because one day I heard my dad say to my mom, Melanie, can you shorten my jeans? My dad's only 5 foot and a fart. Amen. I'll tell you, he's only down here. I feel like Gandalf in my family. All Welsh people are short. I'm an anomaly. Amen. Whatever they call it, anomaly. And no. He's short. Melanie, can you take up my jeans? And this is what my mum said. Oh, John, sorry, Anne's still got my sewing machine. And this is what my dad said. And I'll take out what he truly said for the sake of this meeting. Amen? Well, she's had that machine too long. She's had that enough. It's time she gave it back. So I heard my dad. So what did I do at 5 years of age, 6 years of age? Jump out the street, go up the road, knock on the door, and answered, my dad says you've had the sewing machine too long and it's time to give it back. I turned around, walked back down the street in the house and back to see my dad. 15 minutes later, there's a knock on our door. My dad opens it. Who's standing there? Anne with a sewing machine. Oh, Anne, can I help you? Oh, you didn't need to bring that back. Well, Gary came up and said, I've had the sewing machine too blimmin' long and it's time I give it back. My gosh, my backside was red. I knew I was prophetic. Why? Because I shared what I heard my father say. Even if I was out of line, I still shared what I heard my father say. Jesus is making known to us the mysteries of the kingdom. He wants us to gossip the gospel. Amen? He wants us to share it with everyone. This is friendship with God. This isn't about signing up to religion. This isn't about signing up to an institution. This is the living word. This is friendship with God. Am I speaking to somebody? And so I want to give us, if I can, just three quick points of what it is to live in friendship with God. I want to ask the question tonight. What if the greatest invitation of your life is not a platform, isn't a promotion, isn't a position, but it's to have friendship with God. Not just seeing Him, not just believing in Him, but walking with Him, knowing Him, conversing, confiding, living in His nearness. I want to encourage you right now, friendship with God is not reserved for spiritual elites. It's our inheritance to have friendship. I want to encourage you, if the Lord is just still your shepherd, you're just living comfortable. Because Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He didn't just invite us to him to be our shepherd. He wants to be our friend. What blows me away is the Bible says of Abraham, he was a friend of God. It blows me away that Moses met with God face to face like a friend. And now Jesus in John 15 is calling us his friends. I want to ask the question tonight, friends. Has religion robbed you from a revelation that you can have friendship with God? Has busyness robbed you from the access that you can have in being a friend of God? People say to me all the time, Gary, why don't you drive a Ferrari? Why don't you drive like an Aston Martin? Like, why don't you? Well, number one, I'm in ministry, amen? Access, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I give you, amen? I'm joking. Why don't I drive them cars? Have you ever drove one of those cars? I have. I drove an Aston Martin once. It's the most uncomfortable thing to drive. But I don't need to own Aston Martin because I've got friends that own an Aston Martin. I don't need to own a Ferrari because I've got friends that own a Ferrari. Gary, why don't you have a boat? Because I've got a friend who has a boat. Gary, why don't you own jet skis? Because I've got a friend who owns jet skis. If we live under the shame of what we haven't got, we'll never live in the wonder of who we've got. Let me say it again. If we live under the shame of what we haven't got, religion will always tell you what you haven't got. Religion will always tell you who you're not. But relationship and friendship with God will give you access to the unimaginable, will give you access to the unattainable in man's eyes, but it's attainable in God's eyes. Am I speaking to somebody? We have friendship with God that gives us unlimited access to the wonders of this earth. Am I speaking to somebody? And I believe God wants us to have an upgrade in this place right now, that we move from the shame of what we don't have to the wonder of who we do have. And his name is Jesus. Yeah? I want to say to someone tonight, shame off you. Shame off you. Because circumstance, situation, history, story has put shame on you. But one of the things I want to encourage you right now, the story of your life is not your life, it's your story. Shame off you. You have access to God in such incredible ways that it's not about religion, it's about friendship. Are you ready for three keys? Amen? I thought it was four, but it's only three. I am going to poem either, so I'm sorry to the Baptists amongst us. Point number one, say this with me, proximity over performance. Proximity over performance. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. God is inviting us not into a place of performance, but a place of proximity. Something changes when you're close. Something happens when you're in proximity to others. Something happens when you're in proximity. You see, you don't turn on the heater and stand over there. When you're cold, you turn on the heater and you're right by it. You don't light the fire 2 meters down there and go over here and go, oh my gosh, that's lovely. That's lovely. Proximity does something. I fear that sometimes we connect with God and we walk the other way. Proximity over performance is all about friendship with God. If we try and live life out of proximity, friends, we've lost it. But there's an invitation tonight for us to have proximity with who he is. Am I speaking to somebody? Abraham wasn't perfect, but he was close. David wasn't perfect, but he was close. Peter wasn't perfect, but he was close. My question tonight, friends, he's not looking for perfection. He's looking for proximity. He's not looking for your perfection. He's looking for your proximity. I'll tell you, there is a grace on a parent who can handle mess. I love my wife to bits. Because my daughter and my son, do you know that part of them growing up when they get in a high chair and you start giving them solids? My parenting was sponsored by Kleenex, amen? It was sponsored by Huggies Wipes. Because I would literally put something in their mouth, get a wet wipe, wipe it. Put something in their mouth, wipe it. And Sarah's like, move out of the way. What the heck are you doing? You're trying to be perfect instead of feeding our kid. She'd come along and just go, poof, 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 all over here, all down here, all over there. And I'm like, no, no. I am not the father you want, amen? But he is the father you need. Because one thing I know about God is not sponsored by Kleenex. God has not got Huggy wipes. And when you come near him, he goes, let me just wipe that. He's given us his blood, amen? He has made a way. And that's what I love, proximity over performance. Am I speaking to somebody? Number two, God wants us in our friendship with him to be reverently honest. What's reverently honest? I sat with the Lord a couple of months ago and I just began just to offload. And I realized my offloading had a lot of blame attached to it and a lot of shame attached to it. But there wasn't a lot of ownership attached to it. I want to encourage us right now. Reverent honesty is about being raw. It's about being real. It's about being reverent. But it's not about blaming, and it's not about shifting blame. What I'm going through is not because of God, and is not because of you. I get to own it. Being reverently honest doesn't throw others under the bus. It puts me on the bus. Am I speaking to somebody? Being reverently honest is to say, God, I don't blame you, but I need you. That's friendship. You see, you can say you're my friend, but I know I've got friends in my life that if I call at 2 o'clock in the morning and saying, hey, that proverbial has hit that fan, they're not gonna not come. They're gonna be there. Yeah? That's a friend. That's a friend. That's who Jesus is. And you might have had people in your world going, oh, I'll be there for you. No, that's a show that's on American TV, amen? I'll be there for you. It's not five characters. Am I speaking to somebody, yeah? That's not friends. A friend that sticks closer than a brother, who is one that you can be reverently honest with, not just reverently holy. He is one. I'll say it like this. David was raw. David was real. But he was still called a man after God's own heart. God doesn't want the filtered version of you. He wants you. How much do we filter in our friendship with God? That's why I love the prophetic, because it turns on the light in my life. It turns on the sunlight, not the spotlight. Am I speaking to somebody? I'm nearly done, and then we're going to pray. I want to encourage you in this. Be honest in prayer. Don't pray and censor your emotions. Bring your whole heart. Journal your wrestles. Speak to him in the midst of frustration. Confide in him like you would your closest friend. Vulnerability is where trust grows. Ask yourself this question. Am I performing for God or am I confiding in God? Am I making myself perfect before I see him? I'll tell you something, friends. So many times we miss opportunities to meet with God because we're chasing things we shouldn't be chasing. My favorite nursery rhyme is this. Pussycat, where have you been? I've been to London to see the queen or the king. What did you do while you were there? I chased a mouse under the chair. How many of us in this room are missing royal appointments because we're chasing mouse-sized opportunities? How many of us are missing royal appointments because we're chasing mouse-sized problems? Am I speaking to somebody? Last and final, number three. Continual conversation. Everyone say continual conversation. Don't binge God. Yeah? Don't binge God. I want to encourage the young people here right now. Do you pray as much as you send reels to your friends? Is God on your reels? Are we Snapchatting? Are we WhatsApping God more than we're WhatsApping others? Am I speaking to somebody? WhatsApp is the prayer language. Prayer language is the WhatsApp of God. Am I speaking to someone? Yeah? Enoch walked with God, Genesis 5:24. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. You know, I love this. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For this is what? The will of God for us in Christ Jesus. If you don't know His will, do His will. Talk with Him. Friendship isn't just about moments, it's about movement. A daily walk, a continual dialogue. The more we converse with Him, the more we become aware of Him. God isn't looking to be a part of your schedule. He's wanting to be your rhythm. I want to encourage you. I check in with God every morning. Because if I don't check in, I'll check out. And if I don't check in, friends, my day checks out. I know that continual check-in is so important. I love the worship team to come if they can. Talk with Him as you go. Ask questions. I want to encourage someone here right now. God is not afraid of your questions. God is not afraid of your doubts. God is not afraid of your frustrations. God is not afraid of your struggle. God is not afraid. He's not afraid. He's not afraid. I can have sanctified Sundays and meltdown Mondays, but God still loves me. Amen? I have sanctified Sundays. I have meltdown Mondays. I have tantrum Tuesdays. I have worship Wednesdays. And then I have throw it in the towel Thursdays. I have frustrated Fridays and sinful Sundays, but thank God for sanctified Sundays. Amen? God is not afraid of your weak, and He's not afraid of your weak. He is not afraid of your W-E-E-K, and He's not afraid of your W-E-A-K. Because in my weakness, His strength is made perfect. I want to encourage you right now, friend, there is nothing that disqualifies you from friendship with Him. Because if you are shoulder to shoulder, if you are facing, that's what repentance is. It's turning about, turning the right way, turning towards Him, not away from Him. I don't walk away from friends, I walk towards them. And I feel like tonight there's people in this room that you've got it. Lord is my shepherd, tick. Jesus is my Savior, tick. But there's two areas that you struggle deeply with. Is God as Father and Jesus as friend. And I feel like tonight God wants to recalibrate some hearts in this place. Because if we were truly to step into one of the greatest revelations that's changed my life is that He is a good, good Father. And He is a faithful friend. Friends, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. The world can say what they want, but it is His voice that I trust. They can say whatever they want about me, but it's His word I trust. Work can work out whatever way, but it's His plan I trust. Because God doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the called. And there's nothing in my world that can take away from what He says and what He's done. And I feel like tonight, friends, I've come with this burning in my heart that there is people in this room that you've accepted Jesus as Savior. You've accepted Him as a shepherd. You've accepted Him as Lord. You've accepted Him as a righteous judge. He is all them things. But friends, He is a Father. He is a friend. No longer do I call you servants. I'm not after your hands, but I call you friends. I'm after your heart.
We hope this message encouraged or perhaps even challenged you in your Christian faith. Our pastors meet regularly with people to pray and support them, and we extend this invitation to you. Please let us know if we can contact you to offer support. Simply call the office or visit nexuschurch.com.au.